This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
From every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome, everybody. It is March the 22nd, 2021. It is DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. I have watched more college basketball over the last 3 days than I think humanly possible. Let's see about the guys. My bracket could not be more busted, as I think everybody is in that same situation. And you're laughing. Terrific. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right, Dave. My bracket is all messed up. It's bloody murder everywhere. There's so many red lines crossed through the picks that I had advanced into the Sweet 16. It's disgusting, Dave. And of course, the worst of it is what happened to my Cavaliers on Saturday night.
That was terrible.
It was awful.
It was really terrible.
But you know what, Dave? The worst part about it is all of the analysts, everybody that watches college basketball, they were picking Ohio to upset Virginia. And I wanted to have the opportunity to tell everybody that they were wrong, and I didn't have that opportunity, which really, really sucks coming off the first game of the tournament.
Yeah, I have nothing to say except at least your game was competitive most of the way, all the way, really, through the game. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Almost didn't make it this morning after that Knicks loss, but I got a fresh new set of sweatpants. Feeling good about this Monday.
Really? Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brand new pair of sweatpants. Get the week started off on the right foot. Hey, listen, your bracket could be bad.
Oh my
Georgetown
God.
Was worse. Let's face it.
Well, here's the thing. They're not that good to begin with, right? Let's be honest. They were a 500 team, and they would have been nowhere near the tournament had they not gone on a red-hot run during the Big East tournament. They got red-hot. They won all these games, and everybody was like, oh, this could be a sleeper team. Look out for Georgetown. I one of the games I got right, I picked Colorado to win. I knew Georgetown's not that good. They're just not. And I was not all that surprised. Now, Colorado was, you know, their best shooting day of the season and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't surprised that Georgetown lost that game.
No, but they're hitting the start at the right time. I mean, it was a feel-good story, you know, win the Big East. They had a 0.5% chance to win the Big East. Feel like they're playing their best basketball. I got talked into picking Georgetown over Colorado.
Who talked you into that?
Everybody.
Really?
Everybody. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at my flow chart in the office. Multiple people had Georgetown upset in Colorado. Multiple
you might want to get a new flow chart because,
right?
Nobody did well, but you certainly didn't do well this weekend.
No, I didn't have a great weekend. No, but I did have Ohio over Virginia.
Did you?
Bad guy. Oh, yeah. Bad guy. Bad guy. You're supposed to go along with my team just for the support of your teammate.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, Virginia.
It's not about being right. It's about supporting your teammate, Rico.
No, it is about being right.
No, it's not about being right. It's not about being right.
Chris, have you seen him? The guy is asking everybody that walks the face of the planet who they should take.
Yeah, he always does this, though. I don't know why we're surprised about it. I mean, when it comes to our NFL picks, he's polling everybody in the cafeteria. He's talking
everybody.
To people on the street, the guys in the garage, everybody, to try to figure out where he wants to land and who he wants to pick. So this should be no different.
And then yesterday, we had Jay Williams, and he's going to join us again this morning. He joins us every Monday at 5:30. He's on last week, and he's like, oh, look out for Illinois. What's the name of the point guard? Chris, I can't say his name.
Ayo Dosunmu.
Yeah, Dosunmu. Look out for him. He's unbelievable. By the end of the tournament, he's going to be a household name. He's a household name because he ruined everybody's brackets. That's why he's a household name right now.
Nah, man, speak for yourself. I picked Sister Jean in Loyola. I'm not betting against the Ramblers. It's clear that she has a close connection with the man upstairs, man. That team, I mean, that's the team that nobody wants to play, Dave.
They dominated that game. It wasn't even competitive, that game. Loyola won that game 5 minutes in, and Illinois never got back within more than 6 points.
That kid Krutwig was awesome.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce his name? He was awesome, man. That guy brought it on both ends of the court.
And you wouldn't think so by looking at him, right?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look like a high-level athlete.
No.
He looks like he's going to go put some brats on the grill as soon as he gets back to the hotel.
I will say this, though. I mean, Kofi, it's no longer – I'm not calling him Coburn no more. I mean, you bust my break. He's Cockburn.
Lost that?
No, he's Cockburn, no.
Wow.
You blow up my bracket like that.
How far do you have them going, though?
Final four.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had them winning the whole thing.
Well, that's your – I mean, that's your own fault because you wanted to buck the trend. Ah, everyone's going to take Gonzaga. I'm going to take Illinois.
Was my choice. My chance.
Try to be a
that
hero.
Was my chance. I should have taken Baylor is what I should have done. They looked really good this weekend.
Yeah, I got Baylor in the Final Four. I got Illinois. I got Gonzaga, and I got Alabama.
So yeah,
Ohio State killed me.
Yeah,
Ohio
I don't State even killed talk, me. Go ahead.
Ohio State killed me. Tennessee killed me. Illinois killed
everybody. But look at who we have. Look at the matchups we have. I mean, you get Abilene Christian. Oklahoma State loses last night. You got a 15. Oral Roberts has moved on to the Sweet 16. I mean, look what happened this weekend.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's something like 7 double-digit seeds advancing to the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's just – this was one of those years in college basketball where there weren't a whole lot of dominant teams outside of Gonzaga, which means that you're probably going to have a lot of craziness when the tournament started, and that's exactly what we got in the first weekend.
Crazy.
I was actually told by a really good source that the full name of Oral Roberts is God. Oral Thermometer Roberts.
Is that right?
Which is,
right?
Yeah, which is exactly why you didn't pick
But them. They can't use that because the OTB, I heard
yes.
they were going to bring up a lawsuit against them.
Exactly,
is that correct?
Exactly yeah. right. If yeah. it was the Anal Thermometer Roberts that
right.
gave them, it has...
Yes. then nobody would have gone anywhere near that team. But they were down double digits to Florida in the second half, and they came back to win that game last night.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, this is why it's March Madness. It really is.
I walked outside crazy. Yesterday. I was like, what is that orb in the sky? I was like, oh, the sun. That's right. I don't think I have left my house. I'm not kidding. Since I went to get my shot on Friday. But other than that, I don't think I've left my house for more than 90 seconds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's it. I was locked in all day long.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you had the shot. Your arm is still sore, and then I mean, it's your kids like watching basketball. I mean, you have the perfect setup. Sherry's got a bracket. She did a bracket,
of course.
She's invested.
She loves it.
You'd have been really proud of me yesterday, though, Dave.
What'd you do?
Played your favorite sport yesterday, a little tennis.
Did you?
A little tennis yesterday, and
really?
I got to be honest.
You took Milo out into the court.
I took Milo. Yeah. So our neighbors is one of our neighbors. He plays high level tennis, mm-hmm. and we went over there and played yesterday.
Now, when
really
you say
good.
He plays high-level tennis, like what level?
For his age.
Okay, so he's an older man who's very
no,
good
No, no, he's a
that.
Young kid. No, he's a young kid. No, he's a young kid that played, like, he plays really, like, competitive tennis. Like, he's ranked, he plays in all these tournaments.
Mm. Really?
He actually does homeschooling because he's that into that.
Oh,
into
wow,
tennis.
So he's a tennis prodigy.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I mean, we went over there and played. He's really good. I mean, I started to have him, I'm like, all right, shoot me some of your first serves. Let's see these things. Whew, forget it. But I'm kind of into it, though. I think I could actually take up tennis now.
That's great.
Kind of like it.
Oh, it's a fun sport. It's
I think
a frustrating
though, I,
sport.
But yeah, but at my advanced age, and
you're what? You're 39?
38. Yeah, I'm not counting last year. 38.
You're
not going to count 2020.
In your physical fitness level, I think me and you paddle tennis team. I think we would thrive in paddle tennis.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, we could start with ping pong and then really, you know, advance our way up to paddle tennis if you'd like.
Rico, I hear you talking about taking up tennis, and all I'm thinking about is all the injuries that you're going to have as a result of trying to play this new sport. I just think it's all bad. It's a terrible idea. Stop while you're ahead. Don't do it. I'm telling you, man, don't do it.
You'll be surprised, though, Chris. Tennis, you're right. I mean, there's definitely a chance. I
change of direction, stop and start with your hip and your knee.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Achilles a little bit. But
you're
going
to blow a tire.
It's safer than playing soccer with your kid, though. Soccer with your kid is a nightmare.
I get how that can be dangerous too.
you step on the ball, you twist.
It's all dangerous for him. Anything.
You know what's not dangerous, Dave?
Any field, any sport, anything, Chris.
No, it's not, Dave. Golf is not dangerous. Golf is not dangerous. You can go out there and play golf. That's not dangerous.
Does your other neighbor have a course on his property, or how does that?
He has a putting green.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He's got a putting green, yeah.
I'm sure.
Terrific backyard.
On the other side of the house, you got the prodigy, the golf prodigy.
You should see his backyard. It's like my dream backyard. He's got everything. Basketball, hoop, tennis courts, unbelievable.
This is not the family that burst into the house during Halloween, right?
No, that wants to see the bedroom. Okay. That is not this family.
You open the door, you say trick or treat, the little kid runs up to your bedroom, right?
Yeah, Cassie looked like Eric Flowers. trying to defend Von Miller, right by her. She was just holding.
Get him, like, and I'll sign it to a 3-year deal.
She was holding on to his leg. He was dragging her up the stairs.
Okay, the parents must have been mortified. No,
yes. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
All right.
It got, it got weird. It got strange a little bit, but
at least they
it's fine.
It's, wrong.
Listen, it's Halloween. Crazy stuff happens.
Crazy stuff does happen. Speaking of crazy stuff, and Jay Williams will join us at 5:30. We'll get into the college basketball with him. Syracuse. Oh, God. Jim Boeheim never goes away. It's very frustrating. But the Knicks last night. You guys are going to tell me, oh, they're competing and high level and all this stuff. I'm upset with that loss last night. That's a horrendous call with 5 seconds left in the game. Horrendous.
That was one of the most, that was one of the most devastating losses of the year.
Oh, God.
And I just finished the game this morning, and it was, in that moment, right? Like, in that moment, that play, we're going to call a loose ball foul there, really? On Julius Randle?
You can't make that call, Rico. You just can't. If you're the officials, it's debatable whether or not it was a foul, but in that moment, there's no way you can make that call. You just got to swallow your whistle because you know when you make that call, you're in part determining the outcome of that game. Like, that was absolutely critical. You can't make that call in that situation. No way.
Then this Knicks team is right there, Dave.
They're right there. They really are. Burks was wonderful last night, huh? Played a really good game.
He was awesome in the fourth quarter, Dave. And usually when we're talking about Burks, it's catch-and-shoot situations, his perimeter game. But, he was great off the bounce, too, putting the ball on hardwood and taking it to the rack, man. Burks was really, really good. Julius Randle was great down the stretch. There's a lot in that game that you can feel good about, especially playing up against that Sixers team who still has the best record in the East despite not having Joel Embiid. This Knicks team doesn't back down. They're competitive. And they find ways to be scrappy. Even with getting in a hole early, they were methodical in the way that they walked the Sixers down, and they made it a game right there at the end. And unfortunately, they didn't get a couple calls that went their way. And then they had that Julius Randle shot rim out. But, the fact that they're right there, Dave, as a Knicks fan, you got to feel really good about this team. Even though you're down below 500, you got to feel good about where they're at.
I feel good about the team, but how many times are we going to have the conversation of our – this is like the fourth time since the All-Star break. They're right there. They're on the verge of it. We had it against the Nets. Great effort. And that game didn't bother me. The game in Philly bothered me a little bit because they had a big lead in the fourth quarter. Last night really bothers me because they had so many opportunities. I thought you could argue they were the better team. Danny, don't even get me started on Danny Green. I don't understand. That guy could shoot like 1 of 17 for the game, and then in the biggest moments he hits whatever shot is put on the table. But that's a horrendous foul call. So I have the foul call, the two made free throws, then Randle gets a great look. A great look, and it goes in and out, and the Knicks lose that game. Very, very frustrating.
Oh, it was a roller coaster, wasn't it? Oh. You go back to, the end of regulation. Tobias Harris has free throws to ice the game. He misses both.
And he's like an 82% foul shooter.
Yeah, and then you got Julius Randle buried in the corner. Makes that, what a great bounce he gets. Makes that three.
You fast forward
to overtime, and Tobias Harris hits the big three, and then he makes the two free throws. And Randle actually has a better look at the end of overtime than he had at the end of regulation, and it goes in and out.
It was in.
Oh. It's unbelievable, man. But they have to make a move. You said Alec Burks was great, and he was great.
Yeah, he was.
But, it's just – so he starts overtime instead of Emmanuel Quickley, who's supposed to be your point guard.
Which was the right move.
Which is the right move, but it speaks to the fact that they need help because they're right there. We can't keep affording to have these conversations where they're this close in a game against the best team in the East, and they should have won that game. You know what I mean? They need help.
But at what cost? I guess that's the question that it comes down to, right? Who are you going out and who are you targeting? Is it somebody like Victor Oladipo who has an expiring contract and should come fairly cheaply? Or are you going to go after somebody that's going to cost you more in the way of assets? That's the question that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau have to answer.
I would take Victor Oladipo. If the price was right.
I would take him, too. The answer to the question for me, guys, I don't know how you feel, is I'll do anything that helps me now, but it's got to be smart for the future as well. I can't look at this moment and say, I have to get better right now. I need to think long term. And I'm not going to, cut off my nose to spite my face? I'm not doing that if I'm the Knicks. I'm not. It's got to be long term positive for this team as well.
Yeah, I think we agree with you. That's why the name, Bradley Beal, I don't know if he wants to be traded, but that's going to cost you a ton.
Why would you want to stay in Washington, though? That is a freaking dumpster fire.
It really is. And then on top of the fact, you catch a break, too, because it looks like, one of the teams that you'll be competing for a playoff spot with, LaMelo Ball looks like he's going to be off for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
I think that
said,
takes,
right?
Yeah, but that takes, I mean, I would imagine that takes Terry Rozier's name out of the mix for potentially being traded now.
Probably so.
So maybe it ends up being Oladipo. Well, you need Derrick Rose back. I mean, ASAP, you need
Well,
you
he
need
was.
Derrick
I guess
Rose
he was
back.
Out shooting before the game, right, last night?
Yeah, but they said he still has to pass, like, certain steps of the safety protocols.
So have they come out and said that he has had COVID?
No.
Right, but clearly it seems like he has had COVID, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would make, I don't understand what other safety protocols you have to pass if you're allowed to sit, I mean, you're allowed to be
well,
on the bench
forever
with your teammates.
Now. Yeah, he's been out forever now. So this is where we are with the Knicks. I mean, very frustrating loss. Just a terrible call, late stages of that game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talented Jay Williams. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I got to tell you guys, after a tough weekend in which my bracket got pooped on very quickly, that intro made me feel very happy about life. So, plus to the Song of Champions here, I appreciate the warm welcome, boys.
Well, we are tremendous fans of you. Although I, to be honest, and I don't know if the other guys feel like this, they probably don't, I'm very upset with you this morning.
What did I do? What happened?
I don't know if you remember this. Last week, last Monday, you came on with us. Chris, you remember.
I do. That's why I'm laughing.
CeCe, talk to me. What happened?
You came on with us.
Okay.
And we said, give us a name that's going to really wow us in the tournament. And you told, I can't say the name, but you were able to say it beautifully, the point guard of Illinois. You said, look, this guy, by the end of the tournament,
That's where my bracket went to poop. That's the point.
Well, you know what? I was on the fence. I didn't know what direction to go in, and I went there, and I'm right there with you now. You pushed me into Illinois, and I got pushed out because of Illinois. He was horrendous yesterday.
It was. So, I mean, look, Illinois really disappointed me. I thought Ayo Dosunmu, that's how you say his name. Trust me, I butchered it for a very long time. They just weren't aggressive at all in their approach. And I got to tell you, though, you know, we had Porter Moser on, and a young man, Marcus Towns, went to my high school. He played with Carl Anthony Towns on that team, and they were both great. He played on that team, went to the Final Four. And, you know, Marcus had kept saying, hey, guys, like, you know, we this guy named Krutwig is really, really good. He can play with the best of the best. And you're sitting there saying, okay, like, you're going against a guy named Kofi Coburn, who is a massive individual, massive, 7 feet tall. Like, he's punked Luka Garza, who is going to be potentially National Player of the Year. But Krutwig came in, and they just run their offense. They're so patient. I would have never thought that Loyola Chicago would be probably the highest chance from that region to go back to the Final Four. I would have never thought that at the beginning of the tournament. Yeah, their story's great, but you thought they would have had an early exit. To see what they were able to do and to win both those games to go to Sweet 16, my mind is just blown. Once again, March Madness, man. So I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, but Jay, you got Sister Jean on a Sunday? I mean, how are you going to lose that game?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. I mean, first off, I'm like, look, I'm afraid to go to restaurants and go to games. She's at the damn game. I'm like, she's 101 years old, CeCe, and she's at the game. What's wrong with me?
All right, Jay, let me ask you this question, because in the moment it feels great, right? And I think that Sister Jean, that's a fun story, and I think people really get behind Loyola. But as far as upsets are concerned, I mean, in the moment, they feel great. But as we get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, do you think that these kind of upsets in the long term are good for the tournament?
I think it's great for the tournament. I'll give you another example. So there's a kid named Max Asmus, okay? He's the leading scorer in the nation. He plays for Oral Roberts, ORU. So obviously, ORU going against Ohio State. I'm doing this thing with Jay Billis, and we're watching the game via streaming. And we're both kind of just in shock that he's, first off, able to go off. Like, it's one thing to be the leading scorer in a nation for ORU, right? Because, obviously, he's talented. But when you get against the big boys, you're like, okay, he went off. Then they play against Florida, and I'm not going to tell you who the text came from, but I'm really good friends with a couple of the best players on Florida's team. And I get a text saying, tell your boys at ESPN to lay off. There's no dark horse dream happening here. Not on our watch, right? This lit me a trash-talking text. Not just trash-talking, just saying, like, this is not going to be it. To watch them do it again. To watch them get to the Sweet 16. Guys, I got to tell you, this is what I root for, CeCe. Like, these are the teams, like, when you find out who Max Asmus is, his name is actually spelled A-B-M-A-S. I've had so many people, hey, this guy, Atmus. I'm like, actually, it's Asmus. That's how you pronounce his name. But like to learn about the stories of the Crutwigs and the Ace Misses and the teams that have been able to get over the hump. This is what March Madness is all about. This is why I want to see kids actually get a chance to actually earn some revenue when they get a chance to increase their name, image, and likeness during these significant tournament runs. Because it's this moment in time that we're learning about them and their stories. And that's what we fall in love with during this incredible journey.
Jay, I want to switch over to the NBA because I just don't want to talk about the tournament this weekend after what happened to my Cavaliers. So I want to ask you about the Knicks. They lose a heartbreaker last night to the Sixers. Closely contested game, went into overtime, and Julius Randle's last-second shot just rimmed out. But this team moving forward, do you feel like they need to make a move at the trade deadline? And if so, what's the move that they should make?
Well, number one, the call last night was the right call. I feel like there's a lot of calls.
Oh, come that
been
going on.
Come on,
it was
Jay.
A push in the
that.
Back, CC.
You can't say that, Jay.
First off, do you guys know how big Julius – have you ever been next to Julius Randle?
Yes.
Either – all right. Julius Randle is a big boy.
Yeah, he's not a small man.
He's a big boy. When Julius Randle puts his elbow on your back and he gives you a push, that's – you can't even do – just box him out first and foremost. Get the damn rebound. So I'm with you guys on this, but I don't want to always hear, like, us New York Knicks fans complaining about every little call. Just box out. And it never happens. So I'm sorry I disagree with you guys on that one. I will say this team does have to make some kind of move because I feel like what's happening right now is it typically happens with Tibbs teams. They play so hard. They play so well so early, like because of the defense. That starts to tail off. So I start wondering about, you know, who is out there that can give them a pop? But do you – it depends, though. Like, do you want to give up? How much of your team do you want to give up? See, I'm a firm believer that I'd rather not just try to trade for the entire world, and I'd rather stick with my core and continue them to allow to improve and increase their value. Like, I still see Emmanuel Quickley improving his value. There's still aspects of this team where they're their team. So it depends on how much I have to give up, CC. I don't know if I want to give up a lot. Just for short-term gratification. Like, they are still in the playoff hunt. They can still be there. I just think we all have to be a little bit patient with the approach we take with this team because everybody says, what moves can they make? What do they need to do right now? I'm like, just press pause. The reason why they've been playing so well is because they've been pressing pause and not actually trying to just swing for the fences every time there's a free agent available or somebody to trade for that's available.
Jay Williams with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let me go back to college, and I'm a Georgetown fan, so it was a tough weekend for me. But on top of that.
But you got there, though. You got there.
I know, which was great. And it's nice for Patrick to get there, and I know they have a big recruiting class coming and all that. You must have greatly enjoyed watching Carolina get just hammered, I mean, destroyed by Wisconsin.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can confirm that off the air. But here's my question about Syracuse. I mean, it's amazing. I actually thought when they first brought Buddy Boeheim into the program, the only reason he was even there was because his dad was Jim, and he wasn't really all that deserving of being a scholarship player. It's amazing that teams around the country go up against the zone, and Jay, it looks like they have no comprehension of how to deal with this thing. I'm amazed by them and the fact that they go back to the Sweet 16.
Well, there's a reason why Jim Boeheim has been one of the most successful coaches in the history of college basketball, right? It's not only the zone, it's a matchup zone. And he typically has recruited guys who are really tall and have long wingspans. Like, that's a different kind of zone. Like, you know, in high school, people see, it's 2-3 zone and pass the ball around. When you're actually on the perimeter with guys who have, you know, 7 feet wingspans, it can cover crazy amounts of length in a short period of time. It's hard to get the ball into those gaps because their arms are always active. So it's one of those things that you can't simulate in practice. You hear about it. You might see a team play it. But the same reason I asked you guys about Julius Randle, it's somebody saying, well, it's not a push. Stand next to Julius Randle. See how big he is. See how strong he is. It's another thing when you actually get on the floor to stand next to the Syracuse zone when you're seeing the average length of it being 6'6 or above. And these guys who are 7 feet wingspans, like, they cover so much ground. So it deters your vision. And all of a sudden, when you get the ball into the gaps, you try to look opposite. They can recover quick. And they also have size down low. So look, my buddy, a good G-Unit song by 50 Cent back in the day. It's funny when you have a guy who understands how to shoot and has the moxie of a guard, but also the IQ of somebody like his dad who's been playing the way he's been playing. Like, I'm that's rep for the ACC, and I'm happy to see these guys do it because they deserve it.
It really is amazing. All right, Jay, we know you got to run coming up at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we join the program In Progress at 8 o'clock. Have a great show, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Sorry about the push in the back by Julius Randle, but it was a foul.
Oh, stop it.
I know.
Have a good show. You got it. We got
you
it.
You too. Fun.
All right. All right, thanks. That, of course, Jay Williams. I can't believe he's going there.
He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
I can't believe he's going there.
I don't understand why he feels like that's the right call to make in that situation. Situation matters when it comes down to those calls. I know people want to say, well, if it was a foul, then you've got to call it no matter what the scoreboard says. That's not true, Dave. We all know that's not true. I mean, Rick has played in enough games. I've played in enough games. You've seen enough games to realize, like, there are certain times where the ref has to swallow his whistle. And last night in that game in overtime, that was one of them times.
And you know what I would say also? If the entirety of the game, Rick, if they were calling it, like, letter of the law, and every time there was a touch, it was a foul, you'd say, all right, you know, it's just it's how they've called the entire game. But it wasn't like that at all. And there were a lot of moments where I thought Julius Randle was mauled and they called nothing and waited for that moment to bring out the whistle.
And for the most part, they had done a good job. I mean, the only two of them, because you lost one to, you know, the COVID safety protocol. So only you had two of them. And up to that moment, they had done a pretty good job. They had done a decent job. But, I mean, that's, again, situation matters. It box out. But it wasn't even, I mean, there's a difference between pushing off and just having your hand on somebody underneath the basket. I don't know if that's the – you can say whatever you want. Apparently, Jay's now a shock jock, but that's not a call you should make in that moment. I don't care what anyone tells me. You decided the game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's unanimous on this show. That's a ridiculous call by the refs last night.
It's a bad call.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are going to be people that are listening and go, oh, it's the Knicks, and they got hosed, and that's why you guys – I mean, we are not a show which really spends a lot of time on whining and moaning about bad officiating. We're really not.
No, well, Rico and I don't believe in that. I mean, we had those conversations in locker rooms where players amongst themselves would say, hey, don't leave it up to the refs. Don't let them determine the outcome of the game. Don't let it be that close. Like, we've had those talks with our teammates. So, like, we don't want to blame the officials for the outcome of a game. But, I mean, after watching the Knicks lose last night, how could you not? I mean, they called that foul. Tobias Harris has the two free throws. Game, set, match. It's over. Like, they don't have a chance. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could stand by it and say that was the right decision by the refs under those circumstances.
Let's take a listen. Julius Randle was hot after this game. Here he is.
Long call by the officials. Not enough contact for them to call the play. I don't know who it was, Nerlens, but clearly had possession. After all the fouling and everything that was going on, and for them to call that and decide the game is ridiculous. So, yeah, it's ridiculous, man. They got to do a better job. It's too many games like this.
He'll probably get fined for that, but I think he's 100% right. I mean, it's just a bad call in that moment. It really is. Cost the Knicks the game last night.
Yeah, I don't think it affected Tobias Harris' ability to get that rebound. He wasn't going to get the rebound anyway. Nerlens Noel came down with the rebound, period. End of story. And that game was, I mean, that was a physical defensive battle of a game. It was a physical game, man.
Yeah,
both teams played tough on defense. I mean, you saw the first quarter of that game, and the Knicks scored 15 points in the first quarter. But, I mean, I don't know if I were to put myself in that locker room with how hard the Knicks play, there's only so many of those kind of losses you can take.
Those are tough.
Like, those gut you, those kind of losses.
Yeah, those are brutal. You give them a lot of credit. Every time it's been a lesser team, they have answered the bell. Now you get Washington a couple times this week, but that would have been sweet. That would have been a great win last night.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there again. But I mean, when you ask Jay as far as, you know, making a deal, I don't think anyone's talking about, you know, gutting the roster to make a deal at the deadline.
No.
But just, I mean, adding, there's something to be said. I know everyone wants to, you know, just let this thing bake and everything else, but there, I mean, getting an opportunity to play in the postseason is huge for a young team. And all the hard work, I mean, that's, you know, Thibs expects a lot from these guys. Like, these guys go out every single night and play their hearts out. At the end of it, there's got to be the payoff of, you know, we're right there to be in the postseason. And they just, like, you watch this team offensively, especially late in games.
Oh,
I mean, it's disjointed.
It is, to say the least. Go to Bill in Spring Valley. Good morning, Bill. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to comment, how many times do we have to watch a Knick game and see Julius Randle with the ball out top and just make some seriously bad decisions with the ball? I mean, we talk about the call at the end of the game. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was a call. It was warranted at that point in the game. But before that call was made, there were a couple sequences there where he just made some bad decisions with the ball, bad passes. He throws up, like, some weird kind of shot. And to call him an all-star...
Oh, come on, Bill. You don't think that Julius Randle has been sensational and deserving of all-star status this year?
I think he's putting up all-star numbers, but I don't think he's an all-star player. He makes too many bad decisions.
Do you know what they would be without Julius Randle, Bill? Do you have any idea?
He's doing it because he's their best player right now, but I know he's having a great season. But I don't think he's an actual all-star. I just think he's a good player putting up all-star
numbers. Bill, let me tell you one thing. Is he on a good team? Would Julius – should like on a really good team that could compete for a championship, should Julius Randle be your best player? No, he should not be your best player.
No.
On this Knicks team, if you define the most valuable player award, not, you know, best season on the best team, like Julius Randle would be in that conversation for most valuable player to his team.
If you take him off of this team right now, they are – I think they're unwatchable. I find it hard to think that they win more than 20 games.
Well, Dave, coming into the season, the over-under for the Knicks was 21.5 wins, and they have 21 wins now through 43 games. So to say that Julius Randle is not an all-star is ridiculous. I mean, he's putting up numbers, but his numbers are actually impacting the team's success. So, I mean, you can't take that away from Julius Randle, the kind of turnaround that he's had with his tenure with the Knicks, man. The guy is special this year. And, yeah, there are some plays where you're saying he's being a little bit too aggressive, but, I mean, what choice does he have? If his team is going to have a chance down the stretch, he's got to be the guy. There was one sequence at the end of that, in the regulation in that game, where he's got a bunny at the rim and he misses it because he's damn near tackled. So, I mean, there were some missed calls by the officials where you should have been having a foul on the Sixers. But, I mean, to sit here and say that Julius Randle is not deserving of all the recognition and all the accolades he's getting this season, that's just unfair.
He played 46 minutes last night. He's coming off a game where he had 17 assists. 17 assists.
Look, I was not a big Julius Randle guy coming into the season. I admit it. I don't think either of you guys were as well. But
that's a different player. That's not the same player.
He's wonderful now. To call us and say that, now I agree with you, on a great team, is he your best player? Absolutely not. But he's the best that they have. And you know what? This version of Julius Randle, I think on a great team, can be the second best player. Like, he's a terrific player right now.
Yeah, but what you're criticizing Julius Randle for is him trying to will his team to wins without much help. I mean, he shouldn't take... You think that Julius Randle wants to be handling the ball as much as he's handling the ball?
No.
No, he doesn't.
And you think he wants to play 46 minutes a game?
No,
he doesn't. But again, I mean, this is what it takes for this team to win games. They don't have a legitimate point guard that can threaten a defense and make it easy for everyone else around, like, to help everyone else get easy shots. They don't have that.
They don't have somebody that can close the game. Like, the final 5 minutes, he can get any shot on the court that he wants, or he can create shots for others. They don't have that guy either.
No.
So Julius Randle has to be that player. And sometimes he's going to make some mistakes. There are going to be some turnovers, but you live with that if you're Tibbs, because you recognize the upside. And if you're going to be competitive, if you're going to win games, that's your best chance to do it. So it's absolutely ridiculous to criticize Julius Randle for the mistakes that he might make down the stretch in games, for the turnovers, when you realize if Julius Randle doesn't make plays, the Knicks don't have a shot at winning.
And I would always go back to, okay, you don't want Randle. Who do you want to have the ball in big moments for this team right now?
Who do you trust, Dave? Who do you trust?
Anybody.
He's the one that hit the three to put it into overtime. I mean, what are we talking about right now?
It's ridiculous. If you are not all over how great he's been, you're missing the mark. Now, on March 24th, which is Wednesday of this week, the YES Network will have its 98.7 ESPN Afternoon Drive simulcast team of Rick's favorite, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg call at least two innings of action when the New York Yankees play the Toronto Blue Jays in an afternoon spring training game from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. To make this all possible, our local 98.7 ESPN listeners have helped raise over $20,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So thank you to all our listeners for making this happen. To find out how you can help, go to bit.ly/kspringtraining. bit.ly/kspringtraining. I look forward to that greatly on Wednesday afternoon. I think that will be a lot of fun.
How could it not be a lot of fun? I mean, you're going to get, I mean, you got Kay and Sterling tonight.
Yep.
You're going to get Kay, Don, and Peter.
Looking forward to Peter, honestly.
Well, here's the thing, though. It sounds like Peter's going to be more like interjecting with you know, kind of, he's talking about maybe doing some baseball card stuff. I don't know if he actually knows what he's going to do yet. I'm not really sure if he knows what exactly.
I would love to hear Peter. Honestly, I would love to hear Peter do play-by-play of the game.
Wow.
I would give him some credit, though. I think he could do it.
Well, he's a talented guy.
But you're talking about a guy. I mean, you're talking about a guy who does, I mean, he does morning drive time and he does afternoon drive time on the radio.
He's an entertainer now. Can't
take
that
away
from him.
Yeah. He's a former 24/7 champ.
As Don likes to point out, didn't even last 24 hours, though, the 24/7 champ.
It did not.
No, it didn't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. This is DCR.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. We'll get us all college basketball.
Who was that?
Jay Williams. It's not an easy name to say.
The name was almost stuck in your throat.
I'm on 3 hours sleep. All right. There's going to be a lot of missteps for me today. So get used to it.
This is DCR.
I'm sure it'll be turned around in 90 seconds, though. I'm sure when we come back, it'll be ready to go. Jay Williams on the other side.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I knew that would make an appearance before long. Well, yeah, let's giggle our way through the 6 o'clock hour now. You like that, huh?
Can I get that one more time, Santi? Just one more time.
Oh, God.
Just give it to me one more time.
Go ahead. Play it.
Just let me hear one more time.
Play it. He can't. See, he won't. He won't do that to me. Or he fell
I understand
asleep.
That like him and Canty have some kind of side deal because Canty's in
studio. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. It is good.
It's actually better. The more you hear it, the better it gets.
It really is good. It doesn't get old. But here's my issue, though. Fine. I make a mistake. Bring it back. We laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Rick makes a mistake. Bring it back. We laugh. Why, when Chris makes a mistake, does it go missing and it never makes another appearance on the show? Therein lies my legitimate question.
It doesn't go missing. I made a mistake last week. We replayed it on that same show.
So I don't remember
that. It's not like it went away. No, we did. It absolutely happened. There's no way that you're going to sit here on the mic on the airwaves and say that, yeah, when Chris makes a mistake, when he messes up, that we don't bring it back up on the show.
Like, Santi, where is Chris's mistake? Play for me.
Mm-hmm. Now you're putting the guy on the spot.
Well,
see,
right.
That's unfair. That's you being a bad guy right now, Dave Rothenberg.
I don't think it exists.
No, it does exist. Dave, we have a rejoin. Dave, we have a rejoin when I can't get out Alex Rodriguez's name. I can't say
that
it.
That happened five or four times.
And we still play the damn rejoin, don't we? We still play it.
But wait, can I get something recent?
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. Exactly. Exactly. So don't start that. Santi's not playing favorites.
I don't know. The man with the ESPN tweets in Dave's drop of Jay Williams, hilarious. But where is CC's drop from the other day? Where is it? It doesn't exist.
Well, he's finding it right now. It does exist. We still have it. And I'm sure we're going to play it before the end of this show.
Good.
Just to make you and Rick DiPietro feel better.
Play them all.
It's ridiculous.
Can I say, though, that the best part of that whole Canty clip is at the end when he just quits on it?
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the whole clip.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. You got to know when the ride is over, Rico. You got to know. You got to know when it's over. It was just not going to come out, man. It wasn't going to happen. Not with that take.
If we were to do what all the other shows do and start pirating segments, if we pirated Drop Madness, that would have a real chance.
That would have a chance to go all the way?
That clip would have a real chance.
Would it be a number one seed, or would it be like one of those 4 or 5 seeds that you got to be on the lookout for?
Ooh. I have to.
That would be the question.
You almost have to put that behind the Lorenzo Carter, just because that's.
No, but Lorenzo Carter, as fun as it is and as much as we replay it,
I was set up.
It's not really his fault.
Yeah, I was set up.
Like, that. I mean, he did what he was told to do.
Yeah.
But the delivery of it, the actual, see, here's the thing, though. It's the little nuances of the drops. The fact that
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Right there. That's the beauty of that whole drop, is when he stops because he knows it's wrong, but he just continues with it.
That's right.
If I ever see that guy again, it's a fight on site. Like, I'm swinging on him on site. If I ever see him again. Nobody's seen him since that day when that happened.
Again.
Nobody's seen him again.
He was a plant. He was a plant. I actually think Doug Peterson planted him.
It was Doug Peterson.
Yes. It was Doug Peterson. Nate Sudfeld was at the bottom.
We're on the D-ball.
Speaking of Doug Peterson, did you listen to any of his interview about the whole drafting Jalen Hurts and everything else?
No.
No.
What did he say?
No, it was just, it was not, I was having a hard time believing what was coming out of his mouth.
Really? You think he's a liar?
Well, yeah. They asked him, like, you know, was that part of the reason why Carson Wentz and your relationship, or just, I mean, how did Carson Wentz feel? He's like, well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, me as a former quarterback, I wouldn't like it if you drafted a quarterback that high in the draft. So it's like, then why did you do it? You were a former quarterback. You knew how it was going to sit with Carson Wentz.
Well, maybe that was him saying that he didn't do it. Maybe that's him saying that that was on Howie Roseman.
No, but see, here's where it gets twisted, is that he actually says in the interview that he's the one that watched. Like, that spring, he had put a lot of time into watching Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like he was the one that was pushing to draft Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Because he believes in there needs to be competition in all depth and competition.
Ridiculous. All right, time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I have a feeling, by the way, that there will be more today from me. The J will not be the only one. You will get more. So stay tuned for the entirety of the show. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. Did you worry at all that I might have been having some kind of an episode?
No, I figured you didn't get much sleep. With all this college basketball going on, I figured, you were going to come in. You're going to be limping into the show today. This was not a fully, like, this wasn't a recharge weekend for you.
No. I was actually almost in tears on Saturday. I was like, I can't stay up anymore. I wish the games would just end. Like, it was painful. It felt like an
obligation.
But
you just couldn't shut the TV off,
nope.
Though. You couldn't turn it off.
I watched Oklahoma State, Oregon State until the bitter end of the game. I mean, hours ago at this point now.
You're a champion. You're better than me.
Yeah, you're a lot better than me. I can't watch the tournament like that. Like, it's always on. But, I mean, there's some naps in there. There's going to the kitchen and get some food. Like, there's, like, I'm breaking it up a little bit. It sounds like you're dialed in the entire
time. Well, first of all, I have a lunatic I'm watching the games with. You've never seen anything like Alex. And he's a North Carolina fan, so he's crazy when it comes to Carolina. So he's watching the games. And he you don't understand. He is exactly like me. He's, like, making fun of the other players' appearances. He's so from the other room, Sherry's like, Alex, it's enough. Stop it. You're going to work yourself crazy here. You got to calm down. And his response, and I'm being good. I'm not saying anything. I'm not taunting him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going. Even with the Georgetown game, I was pretty relaxed. And he says, throws me totally under the bus. He goes, well, Dad's allowed to do this kind of stuff. Why can't I?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say, Dave. I mean, you're saying that it's unlike anything you've ever seen, and yet this is how you watch games all the time. So with Alex, this is just learned behavior. He's just doing what you taught him.
Yeah, but people with a problem don't realize they have a problem until, I mean, this is like Dave actually getting a glimpse into what Dave
fair point
is.
Fair point, yeah.
Otherwise, he has no idea. He just acts
it's
like
crazy.
Dave.
He's crazy.
He must have been torn apart that North Carolina got destroyed.
Oh, they got
Wisconsin.
Hammered, and then he picked Illinois to win the whole thing.
Oh,
so yesterday he's having a meltdown. I mean, you should hear the things he says. Crutwig,
I'm raising me.
Yeah, he's making fun of the guy's appearance. I was like, Alex, stop it. You sound horrendous. And Cher, like, and it's such the pat thing. She's like, I swear to God, if you keep it up, you're going to bed. And I was like, Cher, it's 1:15. You can't send the kid to bed now. He hasn't had lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it is quite the scene here. Wall-to-wall college basketball. All right, guys, we find that on Saturday, the Giants add a big play, big-time wide receiver. Very exciting, Chris. Kenny Golladay, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants had to make this move, Dave. Like, from the moment we found out that the Lions weren't going to franchise Kenny Golladay, like, we were saying that the Giants have got to have him in for a visit. He's got to visit the tri-state area, and they've got to try to make a run at him. Now, do you love the fact that they had to end up paying him $18 million a year on a four-year contract? No, it's probably a little bit on the higher end. But, I mean, they went ahead and went the extra mile just because they recognize how important Kenny Golladay is going to be in order for them to try to determine whether or not Daniel Jones is their franchise quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, I think we all realize. I mean, is it a lot of money? Yeah, it's a lot of money. But you can't sit here and talk about how important it is to get Daniel Jones a legitimate wide receiver, a number one wide receiver, and then be mad that it costs you a lot of money. I mean, Kenny Golladay was the guy that you wanted. Kenny Golladay, from everything we heard, wanted to be a New York Giant. They met with him. It went great. I mean, the whole hip injury, I guess that checked out.
Yep.
How it needed to check out. And mm-hmm. as far as him buying into the culture that Joe Judge is trying to build here, they feel comfortable. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. But, again, I mean, this is an investment in your young quarterback.
Yes.
That's the most important position in sports, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. And you get a chance to actually, I mean, how many times have we gone back and forth over the last couple of years? And me joking around, because it drives you crazy, but saying, you know, the Giants have morphed themselves into the Jets.
Ugh.
So the last thing you want to do is put yourself in the same position that the Jets are in right now. Whereas you got, you know, quarterback going into his fourth year and you still have no idea whether or not he can play.
Yeah.
Now there's no more excuses. In all honesty, no, you got Nate Solder back,
which going could help. His third year, by the way. But yes. I mean,
no, I'm saying you don't want to be. I know he's going to
You don't want to be where Sam Darnold was last year.
You don't want to be a year down the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. You don't. And so you love that signing. And you know what I like also? Because everybody wanted him, had to have him. You got to pull the trigger and get this done. And the Giants wanted him, but they wanted to make sure it was the right move. They wanted to make sure he was the right fit. So they waited, and they waited till they had a full meeting with him. They didn't just throw some, you know, egregious amount of money at him. They waited all the way. They discussed money. They checked out his hip. They wanted to make sure he was going to fit into the system that they're running here in New York. And I guess all checked out. And the same thing's going to happen with Jackson and out of Tennessee, and hopefully that's going to work out as well. And then all of a sudden you look at the Giants as a much improved team this free agency period.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. The Giants did throw a huge bag of money at Kenny Golladay. I mean, as far as practical guarantees go, it's $40 million.
Which is a ton.
It's a ton of money for a receiver. But, I mean, listen, this is what you had to do in order to land the plane. I mean, you typically don't see deals like this on the sixth day of free agency, but, I mean, it shows you the kind of urgency the Giants have about being able to surround Daniel Jones with the talent that he needs in order to be a productive player. Now, the thing that I do love about this deal is the way that they structured the contract to leave some room under the salary cap form this year so they can go out and potentially sign an Dory Jackson who's visiting with the Giants. So, I mean, hopefully they'll be able to pull off that one too. But if you're coming out of free agency with re-signing Leonard Williams, signing Kenny Golladay, and getting a number two cornerback in Jackson, I think everybody feels good about what the Giants are doing moving forward. And I think it sets them up to have a lot of flexibility on what they're going to do on draft day.
Totally agree. Because you could go anywhere, really. You could go edge rusher. You could go another receiver.
Yep.
You could. I mean, I think people have warmed up to that. I don't think he'll be there. Pitts out of Florida. You go with an offensive lineman. You can take a corner. I don't think there's anything that you could do within reason if you're a Giants fan that the Giants could do on draft day and say, oh, God, I hate that move. Right? Or that position selection.
And yeah, unless Gettleman falls in love with another running back.
Come on, man. Really?
I'm you just still saying, doing you that?
Why are you
position?
Still doing
it?
Like, bruh, come on, man. It's 4 years
he's
later.
Never stop.
He's stop.
Never
stop. Stop it.
He probably shouldn't, honestly. It was such a ridiculous draft pick.
No, but here's the other thing, though, too, which is, again, and, you know, you hope, I guess, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, you saw last year the effect of having a legitimate number one wide receiver, what it does for a young quarterback. You saw it with Josh Allen in Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw it, I mean, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Now, was Kenny Golladay, Steph Diggs, or DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
Probably not. But by having a legitimate number one wide receiver, and Canty says this all the time, is that because you have someone now that the defenses have to scheme against, you can start dictating fronts and coverages. But so what that means is now all of a sudden, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to be better.
Yep.
And now, you know, you slot in Sterling Shepard as, you know, he may probably a number three. Slayton is a number two.
Yep. Ingram is more attractive when he's not the number one option on your
exactly
offense.
Exactly right. Take the pressure off him. He doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense. Daniel Jones is going to naturally be better with all these weapons. I mean, you look at the skill positions, man. This skill position group is...
Yes.
I mean, you show me. I mean, outside of Evan Ingram not being able to catch a football, I mean, there's talent all over the place.
Absolutely there is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, you had a terrible sports weekend. Virginia loses, and LeBron goes down with looks like a severe ankle injury. So now the Lakers are without Anthony Davis, without LeBron James. You can't feel good about this right now.
No, I don't feel great about it at all, Dave. I mean, Solomon Hill goes barreling into LeBron James's knee. I mean, you're lucky that it wasn't anything worse than what it is, Dave. I mean, because that thing looked ugly in real time. Like, it happened in the second quarter of that game, LeBron James in that pick-and-roll situation with Montrezl Harrell, and then I guess Rondo gets his hand in there and tips the ball away, and then Solomon Hill is just diving into LeBron James's knee trying to get the ball, and it's just like, man, I mean, I'm glad it's not worse. I mean, LeBron, I don't know what that dude is made out of, man, but the fact that he was even able to stay in that game for that next possession, and then he knocks down a three before he goes into the locker room. I mean, that just shows you how tough of a guy he is. But, I mean, this is something that you're worried about in terms of the seeding in the Western Conference, because that's going to matter in terms of being able to create the easiest road for him to try to get back to the finals.
It's always jarring when it's LeBron James, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because he never gets hurt.
No, never. I mean, he's got to go down as one of the most, I mean, one of the most durable athletes that we've ever seen.
That's a part of his greatness, the fact that he is always out there.
Always available. Yeah, but this is huge for them, though. I mean, they, like you mentioned, Dave, no Anthony Davis, no LeBron James. Now, do I think does it matter for them where they end up finishing when
no,
it's all said and done?
But can you tell me that both guys will be healthy come playoff time?
I would feel better about LeBron James being healthy. I don't know what the story with AD is with that calf. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, but the more time
Achilles.
But the more time you can give him, the better off it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want is to try to rush him back like what happened with the Warriors and KD a few years back. Like, you try to give him as much time as you can, and still with them being, you know, a top 3 seed in the West and tied with the Suns in the win column for the second most in the conference, like, you feel like they're still in a decent spot. Now it's just a matter of, can this team stay afloat with both of those guys being out?
Probably not. But again, do they need to? I don't think they need to. If those guys are healthy, there's no way Phoenix is beating them in the postseason.
Well, yeah, Dave, I hear what you're saying, but this is about competing for a championship, and a part of that is making sure that you have the easiest road to get to said championship. You don't need every game or every series going to a game 7. Like, you're trying to save up as much in the tank for LeBron and AD as you possibly can, so when they get to the NBA Finals and they're going up against the Brooklyn Nets, that they're at full strength and they've got as much gas as they possibly could at that moment.
Well, right now, put you on the spot. Who's winning the NBA title? Right now, Rick.
Right now, put me on the spot?
Yep.
Am I assuming health?
Take it all into account.
No, I mean you're
taking into account
health,
the Anthony Davis, LeBron James injuries. You have to.
I would still lean towards the Lakers, because I think I could actually sit here and make the argument, just because what LeBron James is able to do with his body, how he takes care of his body.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's amazing, man. He's in year 18. I mean, you can't say enough great things about LeBron James. I could sit here and make the argument that this is in the best interest of the Lakers that he's missing time right now.
Oh, I don't agree with that. He's got a severe ankle injury.
He walked off the court. He stayed in the game. He walked off the court. I mean,
he buried that three, too. He buried
like,
that.
I mean, that. And RJ just says in my ear, he says, you're not answering the question. Right now, who are you taking to win the championship?
I would still take the Lakers right now.
You take the Lakers.
Because I think he's
going to
be back. And he's going to be rested.
Dave, you know I'm not betting against my Lakers.
He's still going to be rested.
That's just not going to happen.
You're missing my point. What happened last year with the Lakers winning in the bubble? You have to take into account that LeBron James had all that time off leading into the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So he was fully rested, as opposed to, I mean, you're seeing him with no Anthony Davis. Like, he's out, like, he's legitimately trying to win the MVP. Like, he wants to win the MVP. So he's exerting himself at a high level to try to win the MVP.
Yes, so the
now,
rest
all of
his sudden, body
take,
gets to rest the rest of the season. You're right.
So he's rested for the play. I mean, this is not like, you know, all of a sudden all these pieces were put together on the fly, and they need, you know, to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they won a championship last year. You bring LeBron James and AD back healthy? Yeah, I still like
question mark. All right, so you mentioned MVP. Your prohibitive favorite to win the MVP right now is?
Prohibitive favorite right now to win the MVP?
Right now, at this moment. After the injury.
Jim Harden.
Not even close. I know that's what you want to push, but not
still
even
Embiid?
Close.
Is it still Embiid?
Nope. He's not. He's third. Almost
favorite.
Even money now is a guy you can't even mention. It's amazing. This guy gets no respect.
Jokic?
Jokic is plus 110.
Mm.
He was plus 200. Now he's plus 110. How about this?
LeBron, where's Dame Lillard on that list?
Plus 1,400. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. LeBron goes from plus 150 to plus 450. Embiid was plus 600, stays there. Giannis, with a huge jump, goes from plus 1,400 to plus 750. Harden stays the same at plus 1,000. Curry stays the same at plus 1,400. And Lillard goes from plus 2,000 to plus 1,400.
Could we just quickly go by, again, I don't like, there should be two different awards. Do we agree with that? There should be two different awards?
What, a best player
and
most valuable
player? Most outstanding and then most valuable?
Yeah.
Because let's Take those odds out of it for a quick second. Now, I'm going to ask both of you the question. If we went strictly on how the award is defined, most valuable player, so most valuable player to that team.
So let's define it like this. If you take this guy off the team, who has the biggest loss from that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Julius Randle's right there.
Okay, now you're getting a little bit, I would agree, but you're getting a little bit crazy. I was thinking more along the lines of like if you took, like, the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler are not good. Jimmy Butler is a very important part of that team.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
What about Chris Paul? What about what Chris Paul has done with Phoenix?
Remarkable. I mean, they could wind up at the top seed in the West.
And they're 28-13 right now. That's huge.
Huge.
Damon Portland is huge. I don't know, man. I don't like how the award is.
You're really bothered by that.
You are bothered by that.
It's most valuable. They vote it's best player on best team usually. It's most outstanding season. I don't know. It bothers me for some reason. I don't know why it bothers me so much.
It greatly bothers you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Terrifically talented Damian Woody. Good morning, Damian. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We are very, very well. I want to start by asking about the Giants. I haven't felt great about what they've done, and I feel much better now. The signing of Golladay sounds like Jackson very well might sign as their second corner. How do you feel overall about what the Giants have done in their future this coming season?
Well, I mean, listen, the big one is Golladay, you know, because this is the important stage as far as the Giants' evaluation of Daniel Jones. That was why you signed Golladay. Is Daniel Jones going to be the future of your franchise? So when you look at the offense, they've addressed, you know, particularly at the skill position, all the positions are addressed. So for me, there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be a top 10 type of offense. And the only thing that would be holding it back, in my opinion, is if Daniel Jones doesn't take the next step at the quarterback position.
So, Damian, landscape of the NFC East. I know it's early, but, I mean, we're, you know, teams making moves and everything else. Where would you put the Giants as far as the NFC East is concerned?
Well, listen, I mean, their offense is as stacked as anyone in the NFC East. We got to see what the offensive line is going to look like, obviously, but you get Saquon Barkley back this year, who's one of the best running backs in the league. And so, for me, they should be right there. They should be right there with Dallas and Washington football team. Everyone knows the Philadelphia Eagles are in rebuild mode, but the way the Giants defense played last year, I mean, I'm putting the Giants right there with Dallas for me as far as teams that I expect to win that division.
Damian, put a grade on Joe Douglas and what he's done in free agency, and what's the best pickup you think Gangrene had?
In my opinion, Chris, I think Joe Douglas has done a pretty good job in free agency. We all know, anyone who knows Joe Douglas and his background, he's a draft guy. He's a draft and develop guy. He's one to supplement the roster with the free agent moves. I like the Carl Lawson, you know, signing in free agency. Mm-hmm. I think he's due to break out, especially in this scheme that Robert Saleh is going to implement on defense. Corey Davis is an underrated guy. He's another young guy. There's a theme to a lot of these signings. They're still young guys that have the potential to take it to the next level. So, I mean, me personally, I would say a B. There's still a couple of areas that need to be addressed, particularly the cornerback position. But I think with all the draft picks, those things are going to get addressed in the draft.
You kind of said quarterback. Let me ask you, Damian Woody here with us on 98.7 ESPN. Everyone has their opinion on what the Jets should do. Assuming they don't bring in the veteran quarterback, what do you think the right move for them is? Is it to keep Darnold and play this back again, or is it to move on and draft the highest graded quarterback on your chart?
Well, listen, Dave, I think I'm leaning towards drafting the highest rated quarterback that's on the board. I mean, because it's more than on the field. We can have a debate about, you know, who has the better upside on the field. But a lot of these decisions also is based off the field, the economics, the business of football. And when you have an opportunity to reset, you know, your quarterback deal, that gives you a great opportunity to really stockpile the roster with a quarterback who's relatively cheap for the next 5 years plus. So I think if I'm the Jets, I'm going to go with the college quarterback in order to reset the contract.
Damian, where do you – I mean, I asked you the same question about the NFC East. I'll ask you the same question about the AFC East. But obviously, New England spent a ton of money. Buffalo is the team that won the division, and Miami should have made the playoffs anyway. Where would you slot in the Jets in the AFC East?
I mean, listen, right now you have to put them fourth right now because we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. All right? And when you look at the other teams in the AFC East, Buffalo's not going anywhere. Buffalo, even with all the moves that New England Patriots made, Buffalo, to me, in my opinion, is still the team to beat in the division. New England's going to bounce back. Miami, you know, should have made the playoffs last year, but they got a ton of draft picks to really stock this roster up even more. So those are three big dogs right there in your division that the Jets are looking up at, trying to catch those guys. So right now I got to put the Jets last in the division.
Damian, taking a step back from the locals and looking at the NFL's landscape, Peter King is reporting that the NFL owners at the end of this month are going to vote on a sky judge in stadiums to help with some of the replays and help assist the on-field officiating crews. Is that something that you would be in favor of?
Well, I actually would be. I think that was something that was done in the XFL. Which had a lot of success at, during the time that it was viable. So that would be something that I would be very interested in as far as the NFL is concerned. Listen, Chris, one thing about me, I'm usually a traditionalist. I don't like the NFL, you know, going overboard with a lot of these things. The human element is part of the game, but if we have opportunity to get things right, why not explore every opportunity?
He is Damian Woody. The show is DCR on 98.7 ESPN. I want to circle back to the Giants and just an overall question about offensive linemen. I mean, this was your specialty. You were a really good offensive lineman for a really long time. How much slack do you cut Andrew Thomas? I mean, it's his rookie year. He's your starting left tackle. He's obviously never played in the NFL before. He doesn't have a normal training camp. Obviously, he was banged up, they said, for the entirety of the season. Like, do you look at him and really believe he's going to be a good offensive lineman? Or because of what happened last year, do you say, I have some concerns about him?
No, listen, I think it's too early to make a judgment call on Andrew Thomas. Obviously, he's a talented lineman that came out of University of Georgia. I think part of the reason why people looked at Andrew Thomas the way they did, it's because of some of the other high draft picks at the tackle position in his same draft. Think about it. Tristan Wirfs played like an all-pro, the right tackle from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mekhi Becton in the same city got a lot of notoriety for his play. And then the Wills kid out of Cleveland, he did a heck of a job protecting Baker Mayfield's blind side. So all those guys were drafted around the same time, you know, in the upper part of the draft. They got all the notoriety, and Andrew Thomas, who went the highest of all of them, you know, is still developing and had his issues throughout the whole season.
Damian Woody joins us here on the show. Damian, with everything going on with Deshaun Watson and these lawsuits and everything else, how do you think this affects his ability to get traded?
Well, listen, I think that all of these teams are going to do their due diligence. These are serious allegations levied against Deshaun Watson. You know, this is not something to, you know, that the NFL teams are going to they're going to be careful with it. But at the same time, guys, we've seen talented guys, you know, have opportunities. That's just the way the NFL is. And we're talking about a 26-year-old superstar quarterback. A guy that's a top five quarterback in this league that's under contract. That's very appealing to a lot of teams. So, yes, these teams are going to do their due diligence. But make no mistake about it, there's still going to be a lot of teams that's interested in Deshaun Watson's services.
Damian, since we're talking about quarterbacks being traded, I got to bring up Russell Wilson. A lot of smoke around that situation in Seattle. I know the money would say that Russell Wilson is going to be a Seahawk in 2021, but last week Adam Schefter said he wouldn't close the door on Russell Wilson being traded this offseason. Do you think that's something that could potentially happen?
Absolutely. I mean, Chris, think about this. We all thought that Carson Wentz could never be moved with that contract.
Fair point.
He got moved. So
if Carson Wentz can get moved with that terrible contract, what makes you think that that Russell Wilson can't be moved for the right price? I think everything has a price. All bets are off now as far as these quarterbacks and being able to move around the National Football League. I think Russell Wilson can absolutely be moved, especially once we get closer to the draft.
Hey, Damian, let me ask you a quick question as a follow-up. Do you think that the Jets should be involved in any conversations if Russell Wilson could potentially be moved?
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, think about this. You're the Jets. When was the last time that you had a viable quarterback?
Chad Pennington? Chad Pennington?
Chad Pennington. I mean, think how long ago that was. I mean, you have an opportunity here to get a superstar quarterback in Russell Wilson. That, to me, will give you the opportunity to solve the quarterback position. You can still continue to build out your roster, but once you get that piece figured out, everything else falls in line. So if you're the Jets and you have an opportunity for a guy like Russell Wilson, why not pounce on that? Why not? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Damian, great stuff, man. We appreciate catching up with you. We will talk to you soon, I hope.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.